Good morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is actually Gary, KC2RMO, from Syracuse, New York. His backup is Mike, WA1NXI, from Maine. My name is Kathy. My call sign is K6SUN, and I'm nearly opening up the session this morning. I'm located in the city of Vero Beach, where it's currently a temperature of about 64 degrees. We're going to have a high of about 69 today. A little cooler day today and a cooler week ahead of us, but a very beautiful start to the day. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, I have another question. Are there any birthday stations out there either celebrating their birthday this week, last week, or maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday? So any stations out there? All right, hearing no birthday stations, this is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. Our topic this morning to start things off is people versus winter. We've all had our winter storms, our winter temps, and we're going to share those this morning. But I do want to advise everyone that I always record these sessions for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all stations participating will be part of that recording. But I will tell everyone that even us here in Florida have had our share of storms this winter. So with that, Mr. Gary, KC2RMO, are you all set to begin this morning session? If so, the reins are all yours.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and good morning, everybody. It is 32 degrees right now here in Syracuse's beautiful Outer Comstock section. We're under cloudy skies and kind of windy and a little dismal looking out there. But the good news is that it's kind of getting back to normal here, because we were for a net on winter. It was really inappropriate to have Syracuse green. We've lost all our snow, so it was kind of ironic. But we are getting back to normal. Right now, what the deal is this morning, the topic is the people versus winter. And we will have the bailiff call the case right now. This court is now in session. Winter, for those of us in the Northeast and the northern parts of this country, winter can be frustrating, expensive, and even dangerous. But for some, it can be beautiful, challenging, and even exciting. For those in sunnier and warmer climes, you have to be asking, why would anybody want to live like that? Now, I live in Syracuse, New York, which according to many sources is the snowiest city with a population over 100,000 people in the United States. How snowy? Well, let's take a look at the top five after I buy a nickel. Now, this is from the Weather Channel. I got this list. Okay, but it's generally agreed, no matter who you use as a reference. The top five snowiest U.S. cities with a population over 100,000 are, and we'll go 5-1 here. Number five with 73.2 inches is Grand Rapids, Michigan. Number four with 90 inches is Erie, PA. Number three with 97 inches is Buffalo, New York. Number two with a yearly average of 100.3 inches, just down the road a piece from us, Rochester, New York. And number one, undisputed, the Golden Snowball winner for the umpteenth thousandth year in a row is with 111.9 inches. It's Syracuse, New York. We just about always win. Now, and I think that 111.9 total is a little bit low because I've seen it listed as 120, but it really doesn't matter. We're number one. Now, to be sure, there are cities and towns that get more snow, but they are under 100,000 people, and that 111.9 inches is puny. Let me repeat the puny compared to what people get just 40 miles north of here in Oswego County. But everything's different in Oswego County. It's kind of like the Dukes of Hazzard of the North. Anyway, the Tug Hill Plateau also is in the same area, and that is just insane, the amount of snow they get up there. How insane? Well, the Tug Hill area regularly gets, are you ready for this, over 300 inches of snow every year. That's right. I'm not going to buy another nickel. Now, you may not see numbers like that where you live, but if you live where the snow flies, what do you do when winter comes your way? Do you have a regimen to get prepared? What are your favorite winter memories? Do you have memories of a particular storm? For those enjoying sunshine and warm temperatures, what are those? What do you do when the winter solstice comes your way? It's the people versus winter. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars, and we are taking check-ins right now.
Sierra United, November.
November X-ray, India.
Victor X-ray, Papa.
Delta Whiskey, Foxtrot.
Okay, we've got a nice group to start things out, and that's always good to see. And we'll get things going with Kathy, S-U-N, sitting down there where snow never falls. Come on aboard.
Well, good morning, Gary, and actually snow at times does fall in the area, but it does get cold. I mean, we've had in the central part, it's been in the 20s in the morning, and actually I think up towards where George and Gordon live, it's going to be in the 40s starting, I don't know if that's today or maybe that's tonight, but it does get cold. But I actually experienced a winter weather storm here in Fort Pierce, Florida, where I teach school, and you've heard this many times here probably this weekend. It happened on Thursday, 10 inches of rain within about 4 hours that flooded every street in my location so that unless I had a canoe or a boat, I couldn't get home. But I did have someone that got me home in a Super Dually, and then I had to return to school to get my car. But that's my experience here in Florida for winter. But I will talk to you a little bit later about my winter storms up in the state of Michigan, because you know I've been in that area, and Grand Rapids is along the water, Erie is along the water, where my son lives. They have 4 and 5 feet of snow, very cold, so, but they're probably less than 100,000 people. So I'll turn it back to you so you can continue through your list. But we do get winter down here. It's just not as cold as you in the north. Back to you, Gary, from Kilo 6 Sierra United, November.
Hey, thank you, Kath. And I know you had said if that rain was snow, you would have ended up with 4 feet of snow on the ground. I still can't believe you got that much rain in 4 hours. It's just crazy. But again, you know, you could be thankful that it wasn't in a solid form. I mean, it would have been a little bit insane. 4 feet, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It was just about, depending upon, again, the official measurement was 3 feet some odd inches, but it was up to 8 feet if you went a little north of us. And you know, the further north you went, the higher the totals went, but that was back in the blizzard of 66, and we had a 65-mile-an-hour wind on it, too, which was blowing it around pretty good. So, I will look forward to hearing the stories of the days back in Michigan, because I know you've seen some crazy stuff, too. We'll look forward to that, but we will go to my backup right now, NXI. Hello there, Mike. Come on aboard.
Well, hello to you, Gary, and everybody aboard. This is W81NXI, Mike up in the great state of Maine, where it's actually a warm spell today for a change, Gary. It's 42 degrees already. Supposed to warm up a little bit more, and I'm really, really glad to see that. Had another ice storm yesterday, and that's kind of been the pattern here this year. We've got twice as much snow as average already for the month, and but it doesn't look like a whole lot on the ground because of all the rain and freezing rain that comes in after. And that's what we had yesterday. I went out and got a truckload of sand and spread that around on my driveway, and this morning it's frozen underneath the top layer of ice, so kind of like a waste of time. But maybe with this good weather, it'll melt down back to the sand. You know, with any kind of luck, get a little bit more of the ice off my roof. So more or less, it's winter versus me, and I'm getting my butt kicked so far this year, Gary. But it's going to get better. Spring's right around the corner. I hate W81NXI, back to net.
It's such a long corner, though, Mike. I keep looking. I don't see. You know, I saw those pictures you sent yesterday, and I was thinking, man, that's a lot of ice. You know, you really did. There was a good amount of ice that you accumulated there, especially on, you know, the phone lines. That's got to be a problem. I imagine you probably had some outages up in the area. This winter that we've had so far, it's been kind of a cheesy winter for us. I don't, you know, we didn't get any big storms. We got that one, we had a one-footer maybe 2-3 weeks ago. But it's all melted now. You know, we just don't, it's like, looks like spring, you know, when you look out the window. It is settling down to a more winter-like pattern now, so I think we're going to get back to the business of winter around here. Sounds like what you're getting up there is what we had yesterday. So, you know, we had we were up in those, I think we got to like 48 or so yesterday, and it started going down overnight. So hopefully no more ice for you. I'd much rather deal with snow than ice. That's for sure. But good luck on that, and I hope we get a chance to hear from you again too. We will go now out to Ohio, and I'll get a weather report in advance of our weather here, because Rick always has the weather the day before we do. So Rick, what's going on out there? Come on aboard VXP.
This is N1 VXP. Yeah. Currently it's 34 degrees, supposed to go up to 44, so not too bad. We had a high temperature yesterday of 55, so quite a change just in a little over, well, actually that hit about around 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, so less than 24 hours we went from 55 to 34. This winter's weather has been really kind of strange, like you say. We got into that last storm. We ended up with an inch and a half of rain. No snow, but inch and a half of rain. I can imagine what that would have been like if we had snow. And we were in that deep freeze, minus 8 and minus 9 overnight temperatures. But one thing that really surprised me this year so far, or this winter, is some of the high temperatures. You know, people think high temperatures should be during the day, you know, like in the afternoon. We've had some of the high temperatures at midnight and some of the low temperatures during the day. So just a reverse of what you normally think of. And, you know, it's just kind of a strange way it happens, but like the other day, we had a high temperature of 53, and that was at 12:05 in the morning. We had our low temperature of, I think it was like in the, let me drop for a second. Yeah, we had our low temperature, I had it written down, at 9:45 in the evening. So kind of a strange thing within a time when you think the high temperature should be during the day, we end up with at midnight, and low temperature the that evening. Kind of, you know, just, I have to still try to get used to that, but it's happened several times throughout the winter. And I do have some good stories about storms I've been in. Used to live in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. So I've been through a lot of good old-fashioned winter storms. N1GXP back to net control.
Well, we are hoping you will come back later and tell us all about those, because that's what this is all about, remembering those big winter storms and how you got through it and all that. So we're definitely wanting to hear from you, Rick. It has been weird this winter with high temperatures. And you're right. They around here too. They seem to come at midnight. it's like well, it's 50 out, you know. And it's like, great, you know. They called that last blast that we got a polar vortex, which is a term I had never heard before. But they're using, they're doing different things with the weather now. But, you know, one thing that I watch the Weather Channel a lot, which drives Stephanie nuts. But I do. It's true. But I do watch it, and they are doing some interesting things with the way they present the weather. And we're going to be talking about that in a little bit too. But that term, I think, originated with the Weather Channel. I'm not sure about that, but it made sense. I mean, you've got this big pipeline of cold air coming down from the polar regions and just blasting the northeast and really the central to eastern part of the country. Everybody kind of felt that thing. It's funny. Everything's kind of topsy-turvy this this January so far. We've had the polar vortex, and we're just coming off of what they used to call around here anyway, the January thaw, which I remember was, we used to have a disc jockey here in Syracuse. Let me buy a nickel. We used to have a disc jockey here by the name of Dandy Dan Leonard, and Dandy used to jock like this, you know. And you'd hear for a week, because it would always last a week, you know, January thaw, it's a January thaw. You'd get that all over, you know, and it kind of drive you nuts, and you were really happy when the temperature went back down to 10 below. We will move things on and go down to Hawaii, where they're not worrying about winter at all. It's got to feel good. DWF, come on aboard.
Aloha, this is Todd, WH6DWF here in Waikiki Beach. Today is the last day for me at the Sony Open. Thank God. It's been a rough week. Anyway, I kind of, sitting among you folks, I feel like I don't have a right to say a word about the winter, but we've been going through what I will call our winter thunderstorm vortex. I mean, I've even made the news this year, which is surprising enough. And last night, we started going through the same thing again. We had some really fierce thunder and lightning here yesterday on Oahu. It hit Barbers Point and went inland. And then started hitting the windward side of the Big Island. And then started hitting the windward side of Maui, and then started picking on us folks over here in Waikiki early this morning. So it just keeps going round and round and round. So why not call it a winter thunderstorm vortex? if the winter, Weather Channel can do it, so can I. Anyway, I hope everyone's having a great weekend. Let me throw another nickel in here. Yeah, so, you know, there's no such thing as a normal storm anymore. That's the one thing I've noticed since Hurricane Katrina. It's superstorm this and superstorm that. We've had super typhoons, super hurricanes. We've had some stuff that we've never even heard before. We've had northeasterns and or nor'easterns, however way you want to pronounce it. Over here, we never get anything right when it comes to pronunciation, so really don't even worry about it. You should see me trying to pronounce some of the street names over here. Actually, you should hear my GPS try to pronounce some of the street names here. It's hilarious. Anyway, well, I hope everyone had a great weekend. I hope everyone's having a great year. So I see some good friends out there, and I'm checking in, so I'm not going to hold up the net any further. With that, this is WH60WF, back to net control, and aloha, 73.
And a big old aloha to you, too. I love that about the GPS. It's like, ours says the same thing. We've got a selectable voice on ours. And in my lovely wife's car, my lovely wife Stephanie, in her car, she has one that sounds like an old hillbilly. And he's like, turn right up here and go down the road over there, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, and I'm like, it drives you nuts after a while. You know, it's funny though. And then it mispronounces everything. Mine does the same thing too. It can't get any street names right. But, you know, hey, I'm a big fan of vortices, too, okay? It's like, I really am. I you know, whether they're time-based or, you know, like on Star Trek or stuff like that. Yeah, anytime you can work vortex in, it's good. Yeah, I really like that. But you're right, too, about everything becoming a big deal. You know, superstorm this and super that and super everything. It seems like the entire media... This vast and deeply interconnected media web that we have now has become basically an electronic National Enquirer. And, you know, it's like, you know, I was trapped in a refrigerator for 42 hours and ate my own foot, you know. It's only a matter of time before we're getting that, too. If you wade through the baloney, you know, you still do get some usefulness out of it. And, do hope you'll come back later and tell us how you guys work with winter or laugh at us up here during winter in Hawaii. Because I can't imagine having no context for cold and snow. Let me just buy a nickel. The topic this morning, if you're just joining us late, is the people versus winter. And it is a celebration, if you will, of how you get through, whether you're in the warmer climes or if you're up here in the Northeast duking it out. You know, we'd love to hear from you. You know, everybody's got a favorite storm, I think. You know, if you've been involved in, I shouldn't say favorite, maybe most memorable storm. If you've been involved in the snow and ice and cold, you certainly do remember certain things. I have two of them. One was the, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, thing we call the Blizzard of 66 around here, which I will always remember. It was a kind of a life-changing event. I mean, it really, or a life-impacting event for a lot of people. It was a... the city of Syracuse proper got a little over 3 feet of snow. If you go north up to Oswego, which is about 40 miles north of here, you were talking well over 4 feet of snow, and it just kept going up and up and up and up the deeper you went into Oswego County. The entire city of Syracuse was shut down for a week, and that included school. We got a week off from school, you know, and it was just an amazing storm. I will never forget that. It started on a Saturday, actually overnight on the Friday night. I was staying over at a friend's house. We went down. There was a little variety store down on Westcott Street, not far from his house. And we went down. We bought a brand new record album, and I think it was $1.50 for a record album back then. You paid. It was like $2.25 if you got stereo, but we had $1.50 between us, so we bought an album. We took it home to his house to play it. I was going to stay the night. We woke up in the morning, and the wind was howling, and the snow was already halfway up the door on his house. And, you know, my mom called and said, don't go anywhere, because I lived about a mile and a half from there. She said, don't even try to get home, you know. So it took me till the next day, till Sunday, when it had kind of slowed down just a little bit. Let me buy a nickel. It took me to walk what would normally be about a half an hour walk, 20 minutes to half an hour walk. It took 3.5 hours to get home. The snow was up to my chest, and already people were the firemen were delivering emergency supplies and looking to see if they needed to rescue people on snowmobiles. At that point, they were going out on snowmobiles. And like I say, it took a week to clear the city. They had construction equipment clearing roads and National Guard troops and the whole thing. It was an amazing storm. The second one was a Christmas Eve storm that we had here that was just a blinding snowstorm. You could not move. And I was trapped at the radio station that I worked in. I was on the air for 18 hours because of that. There was nobody else to take over, and it was Christmas Eve, so I spent Christmas Eve just watching the snow fly and hanging out on the radio. One of the guys that worked there actually lived about half a mile from the station. He made it in, so he kept me company, and we'd trade off, but about 18 hours before I got out of there, or got off the air anyway. it was interesting. So, do you have any big storm memories? Do you have any memories of a major storm in the winter, major blizzard, ice storm, whatever, that you'd like to share? We'd like to hear it. We'll take check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
You're back to Yankee.
I think I doubled. Victor Hotel.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay, there's a good start. I think Y2R was in there doubling with you, Steve. So we'll call on him second, and see if we can get him back in there. We'll go first though to Quebec Yankee with Rebecca and Jim. Hello there, folks.
Well, good morning to everybody. This is KB4 Quebec Yankee. And that's Echo 1880. And I imagine that was a good year. I wasn't here, but it was a good year anyway, I guess. I don't know. I got a couple of years in mind. The first one is 1959. I think that's about the worst year we had in the city of Atlanta, which is where I was at that time, dispatching taxi cabs. And man, we had a winter. Of course, down here, the snow is not calibrated by the depth of it. It may not be so deep, but by the layer of the ice is what you calculated in Atlanta. You want to know what's on the bottom and how many layers before you get to the surface. And that would determine how slick it is. it ain't so much snow as it is the ice within the snow. But that was a bad winter, and we got through it. I think most of our stuff was closed down at least a week. And some of it was closed down 2 or 3 weeks. Schools, for example, was closed down 2 or 3 weeks. But it was so bad here. I had the only taxi cab running in the city of Atlanta. And that's hard to do with about six or eight cars. But it just happened that I bought snow chains before it got here. And I was the only one that had chains. In fact, the Camp County police come and bought the chains from me to go in their police cars. So had a pretty good year that year. But the other one, let me cycle here. The other one was, as you mentioned, 66. I remember that in particular because that's the year my son was born. Only thing, he was born in June, and it was January, as I remember. But I remember going out to the East Point radio station, and we was going to do a broadcast, a Christian broadcast. And Brother Kissel, he was disc jockey out there. And I remember hearing him say, "And now the WTJH temperature is zero." And that's at 1:30 in the afternoon. They said zero. I was sitting in there, my hands on a keyboard, a vibrator. And I like to froze to death between when he said zero, and now we go to Jack Tigg. And right in between there somewhere is where I froze to death. It was colder. That piano was the coldest thing I ever thought of in the world. But it wasn't cold till he said zero. Back to you, KV4QY.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Hey, you don't think about stuff like that. But when you're not used to cold temperatures, that's got to be crazy. Especially going down. I mean, zero's cold for up here. You know that you go outside and you feel that, and you're like, yeah, it's cold. You know, when you're used to being, 70, 80, 90 sometimes. You know, in the winter all the time. I mean, it's like that's got to be just blows your mind. I mean, it's a shock. That is a real shock. We just had a report from Waikiki that all the same alerts on the NOAA radios all went off, so he's having some fun down there with his thunderstorms. You brought back a memory, Jim, of those tire chains. I can remember all the city vehicles, the police cars, the fire engines, everything. They used to just put those chains on those tires, and they stayed on pretty much all winter long. They had to have torn up the streets. I mean, it doesn't seem like we have any less potholes now, so I don't know. But either we've been increasing potholes on our own, and we don't need any help from chains, but I don't think they're legal on the streets anymore here. Those were kind of like bulletproof vehicles that used to do the snow plowing here. They used to have these old Walter four-wheel drive snow plows with chains, and they could go through anything, and they had to. I give you a pat on the back and a tip of the South Cars hat, Jim, for getting through the 0 degree temperatures, because that's got to be a big deal for somebody who's not used to it. Thanks for being there. Hope we hear from you in a little bit. Let's try Y2R. You kind of doubled with Steve, I think, on that last check-in. So let's see if we can get you this time around. So Y2R, come on aboard.
Yeah, okay, Gary, KC2R. RMO, KC9YZR. Yeah, I can't help that. I try not to double, but it's kind of hard when there's a built-in 1.5 second delay in the interface here, and then I'm going to a proxy server, so I try to not double with people, but I can't always avoid it. That's why a lot of times I wait until most of the check-ins have checked in, and I check in a little bit later when it thins out, where there's not so many people trying to check in. That's why a lot of times I'll listen for a long time before I'll check in. But anyway, yeah, it's been bringing back a lot of memories over the years. I can't really think of any one particular snowstorm or whatever. There's been several over the years, but nothing really sticks out in my mind except for certain things about them. I remember when the interstate highway out here was only a two-lane highway, and in the 70s, snowplow drivers, they'd plow the snowbanks up there 9, 10, 11, 12 feet. I don't know how they got it up so high. driving it down the highway, and you see these 9-foot high snowbanks on the side of the road there from the snow plowing. There's sort of a phenomenon, though. I don't understand people around here. It always takes them to start losing traction or a close call or sliding in a ditch before they'll slow down. And the people that live here, you know, they think they can still go 55, 60 miles an hour or 65 miles an hour, or even when it's snowing and you can't see 20 feet in front of the car, they're still going 55 miles an hour. So jeepers. And then you hate to slow down because you might get hit from behind somebody that's going faster. But that's sort of why I try to stay off of the highways if I can. But anyhow, there was one thing I was thinking about too, is I had seen these older houses, like 100 years old or nearly 100 years old or whatever. They got these doors up on the second floor, and it made me wonder, you know, they don't have any porches or patios or whatever you want to call it up there. It's just a door on the side of the house, and I was just wondering. I used to hear rumors about that the doors were put up on the second floor because sometimes the snow would be so deep they wouldn't be able to get out of their house without going up to the second floor. I don't know if that's a rumor, joking, or if they actually did that, but yeah, around here we remember more the summer-type storms like tornadoes and stuff, and they used to have the term cyclone, which I don't think they use anymore, but as far as winter storms go, nothing really sticks out in my mind so much, but I do remember a picture of a guy standing by a basketball hoop, and the snow was up to the bottom of the basketball net, so the snow must have been about 8-9 feet deep, so I do remember having a real deep snow years ago in the 70s or whatever. So back to you there, Gary, KC2RMO, KC9YZR.
Hey, thanks, Bernie. I had you as Y2R, YZR, and I stand corrected. Yeah, that's like, again, I'm remembering what you were just talking about with the snow up to the bottom of the basketball hoop. That was 66 here. I can remember what we would do, which was stupid, but you know, you were kids, you're 15 years old. What we were doing was we were going up on the, if you have a front porch, you'd go up to the second story and stand on the roof of the front porch and jump off into the snow, and then you'd sink down and you'd disappear. They couldn't see you. And you'd tunnel your way out of this stuff, you know. It was crazy. It was just insane. That was an interesting storm. That was kind of like, if you read up on it, I did a little reading up on it, and how it all came together was kind of like if you ever saw the movie The Perfect Storm. It was just kind of like that. It had come together like that, but nobody knew how intense that thing was actually going to be. 66, they weren't quite as sophisticated in their ability to forecast the weather as they are today. It really was quite something. So cyclones. I haven't heard that term in a long time. That's great. I think they called it the tornado in the Wizard of Oz a cyclone. I'm pretty sure they did. A cyclone's coming. That's cool. I have not heard that in ages. Thanks for being there. Hope we hear from you again. We will move down to Louisiana and Victor Hotel. Hello there, Steve.
Well, good morning, Gary, and good morning to everybody on board this morning. 42 degrees and clear here, looking for a high of 68. I'm one of those folks who've had both sides of the coin, I guess like Kathy. I spent some time in South Bend growing up in the 50s and the 60s in the Lake Effect Snow City. I can remember walking to school to Nooner Elementary with the piles of snow along the sidewalk way over my head. And then I can remember the terminology for what they're now calling a polar vortex. It used to be called the Siberian Express. And every time you'd have a Siberian Express, it would get cold like we've had here in the past week or so. I've also had the experience of moving down here into the warm weather. And when I first got here, I was amazed when people would put on their windbreakers and their sweaters almost 30 years ago. And now, when it reaches that same temperature, how about that I have my windbreaker and I have my sweater on too. So the blood definitely does thin out as you spend time in the warmer weather. I put a nickel in this thing. My recollection of the big winter storm. My wife and I had been married a couple years. We were apartment living. We bought a new house in December. And tri-level attached garage. Got up, bought it in December, got up a January morning following. Ready to go to work. Went out into the garage. Didn't have a garage door opener, so grabbed the big door, yanked it up, and couldn't see anything. There was a snowdrift. There was a little tiny band of light coming in through the top. The rest of it was solid snow. And after a few seconds, since I now owned the house and wasn't apartment living, I recognized that the snowdrift belonged to me, and I was responsible for moving it. So that's my big recollection. I think that's it for now. Everyone have a great day. KC2RMO, KF5VH.
Hey, thank you, Steve. You know, it's stuff like that that makes you realize how very much you love your snowblower. That's really interesting because we've been in this house for, it'll be 4 years this spring. I had never, we'd always lived in apartments before that. I never owned a snowblower. I think one of the first things I bought when we got the house was a snowblower. Because I said, well, we got this big old driveway, and, I ain't going to shovel it. We're going to let the machine do it, you know. So, I'm really glad I did. You cannot do Syracuse without a snowblower, you know, if you have any sort of a driveway or, you know, sidewalk at all. You know, it's what you need to survive, that's for sure. You know, I'm glad, Steve, that you used the term lake effect. I don't think a lot of people are familiar with that. And let me just buy a nickel. Lake effect, for those who don't know, if you live anywhere near the Great Lakes, is a way of life. That's what gives us our 111 or 120, depending upon who you say, inches of snow a year. It is what gives the Tug Hill its 300 inches of snow a year. And anybody who lives around the Great Lakes, they get theirs as well from the Great Lakes. And what the phenomenon is, it's pretty simple. The lakes hold the heat. The lakes are warmer than the air going over them. And cold air blows out over the warmer water. When it hits the shore, it condenses out in the form of snow, and lakes are very efficient snow generators, especially Great Lakes. You know, what is it? 20% of the Earth's fresh water is contained in the Great Lakes. So you have an enormous reserve to make snow coming from the Great Lakes. So if you live around the Great Lakes, you're certainly familiar with the term lake effect, and I'll tell you right now, it's a very, very efficient generator of snow. And the Siberian Express, yes, that is the old name for the polar vortex. I don't know, I kind of like it better, but polar vortex is cool too. I can definitely live with that. That's okay, you know, but nothing wrong with the Siberian Express. But good to hear from you, Steve. I hope you come back later. We will move back out to Ohio and Rick with VXP. What's shaking there, sir?
This is N1VXP. Yeah, you mentioned lake effect snows. Oh, I can think, even though I'm not really that close to the Great Lakes, but we do get the effect off of Lake Michigan. And when I was in Connecticut, I think back, I shouldn't even say Connecticut, but when I was in Pennsylvania, I remember that winter, 66. We ended up with the good snow out of that one that, it came out to about maybe about 3.5 feet of snow. And we were shut down for a week, no school. And I was in a private school, and I can remember we weren't that far from our school infirmary. And there were some of the kids that were in the infirmary, and there's a couple of kids that were really not doing so well. But the roads were all pretty well snowed in. Nobody was going anywhere. All of a sudden, we heard this helicopter come in. It was a National Guard helicopter. It landed right by the infirmary to take those kids out to take them to a better facility for medical treatment. And I can remember this driveway. It had to be a good 50 yards long. It was our only access in off the main road. And we had to shovel that by hand. It was fun. Let me drop for a second. And I can remember, throughout that storm, we were all, we had no school for a whole week. And the teacher, when we finally got back to school, said, well, we got to make up all we didn't learn. So it seemed like for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks, we had double the homework assignments and had to go through a lot in the classes. But it was an experience. I think back, that was in 1966. Then I think back and I say, okay, had to think of another one that really surprised me was the winter of 77-78. I was living in Connecticut. I went to Kentucky to visit relatives around Christmas time. And I said, okay, I'm going to stay probably about a month. That was actually 30 days. The airline ticket was good for doing a round trip in 30 days. Well, that was a week before Christmas I got there. I didn't leave Kentucky until the first week of March. For those who don't know, we had the storms. It was like every day we had snow. And it was to the point where we'd get 3 or 4 inches, 6 inches. Then we got freezing rain. Had the experience of a small stream flooding. Let me drop one more second. And we had the one day it was funny because the temperature warmed up to about 50 degrees and within a half hour dropped down to 20. So we had all this water just flooding up a small stream into a pretty good sized pond. A relative of mine said it took about, I filled up an area of about 2 acres of land at a depth of about 8 or 10 inches. And our house was about maybe 4 feet from the edge of that water. And I was like, okay, when that temperature dropped, everything froze solid. I got up the next morning. It was 3 inches of ice all over the ground. The water had dropped back down, but the ice was there. And the sound of this ice breaking up sounded just like gunshots all over the area. It was just popping and snapping. And quite an experience. But that storm, like I said, I didn't get out of Kentucky until like the first week of March. And I said to myself, that that makes me respect the winter weather. One thing I think back over the years is if you look at the old-time photographs of different areas of the country during winter, we ought to consider ourselves very lucky, because some of those areas actually did have 6 and 8 feet of snow covering areas. And it makes me wonder, are we going back towards that in some areas, or are we just staying at a very dry area? N1PXP, back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. Wow. I was, you just had me coming up with all kinds of different thoughts there. You know, it's funny. You know, you talk about lake effect again, and what's unique about where we are here, you know, mostly, you know, you're getting it off of one lake. Where we are, right in the center of the state, we have the good fortune to get it from two lakes, because if the wind blows one way, we're a ways from Lake Erie, but it does affect us too. More so, obviously, Buffalo and even Rochester, but we do get Lake Erie lake effect snow. And, of course, our primary snow generator is Lake Ontario, but sometimes if the wind's just the right direction, you'll get it from both. And, ay caramba, you do get a lot of snow. 1965, 1966, those seem to be great years in people's lives for just unusual events. You had the great Northeast power blackout in 1965. I think someday we'd like to do a net on that. We may have done one. I don't know, but... if not, maybe we'll bring it back, which was really cool. And, of course, the blizzard of 66. And you know, Rick, you were talking about 1978, and I think that was the year of that storm that I got snowed in on Christmas Eve. So I wonder if it was all part of the same system. That would be kind of interesting if that was. It's kind of... put things back into perspective year-wise anyway. But thanks for checking in, and do hope we'll hear from you later. We are talking about the people versus winter and what you do to get through, how winter weather has affected you. I am going to buy a nickel, and we'll be back with a couple of other little tidbits here. This is KC2RMO. This is South Cars on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew, and we are talking about the people versus winter. One thing that I have learned is to, as I have grown older, the absolute need, if you're going to live around here, for a vehicle with four-wheel or all-wheel drive. I used to feel, and when I was younger, you know, just get yourself a big old heavy car, slap some BF Goodrich Silvertowns on the back of that kid, and you were good to go, you know. But as you get older, lighter cars and front-wheel drive are supposedly fine, but to me, they just don't have the same traction. And ever since I have been able to, our last car was a four-wheel drive car. It's a Ford Escape, a 2010 Escape with four-wheel drive, and it goes. I mean, that thing will go up a wall. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And our second car is an all-wheel drive car too. It's a little Nissan Rogue, and that gets through just fine too. So if you're gonna live in the snow, obviously you want four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. It's the same thing, and it does make a big difference. That's for sure. I think people that live in warmer climates don't appreciate it, but it sure makes a difference when you're living up here. Staying warm. Boy, we were talking about the Polar Express or the Siberian Express. Holy cow. You know, we were down with wind chills of better than minus 29 here, and actual temperatures, you know, minus 9, minus 10, you know, right around in there. How do you stay warm, right? You know, we do a lot of continuous tightening up of this house, that's for sure. I am constantly running around and looking for, you know, air leaks and ways to improve to keep us warmer and keep those heating bills down, which is always a nice thing. Let me buy another nickel. Mike was talking about the ice storms up in Maine that he's been dealing with. And, of course, when you have ice, you have power failures. You know, some folks around here, especially if you're outside of the city, a lot of people, I know if you go north, again, of us, that's where the snow really builds. They have auxiliary generators in their garages. It can be a real helpful thing to have, and they've come down in prices. So it's not a bad thing to be thinking about if you live in a heavy snow area. You know, safe driving. Jim was talking about that too. You know, respect the winter. It's real simple, you know. You can't drive like you do in the summer around here. And we see the same thing that he was talking about, too. You get these guys, and I do know, you know, having a four-wheel drive vehicle, you can get overconfident very easily, and you have to be really aware of that. Because I'll see these guys, you know, with these, you know, four-wheel drive F-150s and stuff, they're going by you on the highway, you know, 75, 80 miles an hour, like it's like a nice summer afternoon. And usually you'll see them about 5 miles up the road in a ditch, too. You know, it's always going to help you, but it's not going to make you invincible either. So you do have to use your head. You know, obviously allow space between, adequate space between you and the vehicle in front of you. And you know, drive intelligently. There's a new thought. You know, it's like you can do it. Believe me, it's all doable. So we are talking about the people versus winter. How you get through the winter, and what your concerns are, your memories are, what the whole Shaw meal is. You know, we're talking about what you do to get through. So we'll take some check-ins right now on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
6, Victor.
India. November X-ray India. I was doubling with KY6B. Sorry about that, Gordon.
Oscar, Victor India, finally get on board here.
Well, there's a nice round of check-ins. Pete, OVI, you're a little hot, so you might want to just back her down just a little bit, but not too much. Okay, but you were breaking up a little bit. But we do have George in their first LCB. Hello there, sir. It's good to hear from you.
Well, good morning, Gary, and everyone on the net this morning. KW4, Charlie Bravo, and... You said it right, Gary. At least they called me George this morning, so I guess I'm all right. But, you know, born and raised in the Keys in Florida, and, well, I have been elsewhere, but winter was pretty good there. You know, what can I say? I made quite a bit of money through the winter months. Love to see you... you snowbirds come to Florida there and spend all your money, and needless to say, my heart goes out to the folks that's cooped up in these air terminals trying to get home or trying to get somewhere. That would drive me nuts. I just go find me a room someplace and wait till springtime. But All right, let me take a pause here. In fact, that little bit of coldness I went through earlier this morning got my nose sniffling. Don't like that part of it there, but you know, the weather, the cold snap, you know, especially in Florida, we deal with the Gulf Stream, caused a migration of different species of fish, which, of course, everyone worldwide likes to come to Florida and fish. So it's a big economy, a boost for the state's revenue. And, you know, we try to work it in our best way. Different, like I said, different species of fish start showing up, and it usually gives us, you know, a sign, well, winter's on its way. And but nevertheless, like I, you know, said from the start, winter, it's what sweet and sour effect here in Florida, because it does support the economy. And also I'll let you guys come down here and get warmed up, and then we got to put up with you on the roadways. You forget, hey, I'm not up there, I'm down south. And like you said, you know, the whole scenario gets changed on it. Thank you for doing the net. I'm headed out the door. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Georgie, crack me up. You know what the problem is? It's sunshine, okay? We're not used to seeing sunshine. And what happens is people are blinded when they get out on the highways. And it probably takes a couple of weeks of driving just to get, you know, your eyes accustomed to it. You know, it's, once you get thawed out enough to manipulate the steering, and your eyes are adjusted enough to see the road, you know, it all settles down. So there is a an adjustment period goes on. But thanks for checking in. You have yourself a great day. It is always good to hear from you. It is good to hear too from 6 Victor. Hello there, Gordon. Come on aboard.
Well, thank you, Professor. Good morning. Good morning to all. Hi, George. Gordon, KY6V. Sitting back and listening to this chilling program. I've been with you since the start. I've got a full recording cranking away here, so it'll make the website here probably later today, Gary. Started the day off at 57 degrees. Our high is going to be 67, they say, 1 degree lower than Mr. Louisiana out there. Good morning to you, Steve. Well, I don't really know what to say here. You know, I'm not a stranger to the rain, but I am a stranger to the snow. Having been born in the Hawaiian Islands, and good morning to Todd, if he's still listening out there. And I was raised in San Francisco, so snow to me was something that we went and visited when we wanted to visit it, like going up to the High Sierras and getting around Yosemite and doing some skiing and so on and so forth. Let me buy a nickel. But I did spend 2 years of what I call capitalized hell in Wisconsin. Man, when it got down to a minus 30 degrees and then the windshield factor on top of that was a neg 50, I really turned inside out. And I learned a lot of things, Gary. The things that you needed during winter in the trunk of your automobile. You know, the bag of sand, the blanket, the shovel, the extra heavy-duty battery cables. And don't forget the bottle of brandy. KY6V, go ahead, Gary.
Hey, that's an emergency kit that we all can live with. And really though, you know, you just made me think of something that was semi-serious. Wouldn't be a bad idea for those that don't have a if you do put an emergency kit in your car like that. You know, for 30 bills, you know, you can get one of those little Baofeng radios like I got, and just keep it in your emergency kit. That could come in kind of handy if you get stuck in a ditch and you don't have your cell phone with it, you know. Might be something to think about. But yeah, I was gonna talk to you about that, about with all the warm weather background that you have at that time in Wisconsin must have been very, very different for you. And I love that, capitalized hell. It's I can see how you were looking at it that way. When you live in an area like that, I guess you get so used to it that it's it's real proof that you can get used to anything. And a matter of fact, you kind of miss it when you don't have a fierce winter to contend with. You know, you get a mild winter, and it's just like, you know, it's like, what's up with this? You know, so you really do miss that. But I've never had the the other end of the spectrum. I've never sat there saying, yeah, I wonder if it's snowing up north. You know, but yeah, it can be fun. That's for sure. And you're right. Don't forget the brandy. NXI, Mike has been dealing with some ice up there in Maine. And thank you, Gordon. NXI has been dealing with some ice up in Maine and putting up a good fight, too, from the way I understand it. So let's hear from Mike right now as we continue with the Sunday Morning Rag Chew on South Cars.
Well, good morning again, Gary and everybody aboard. This is WA1 NXI. And it's actually a heat wave here today. Sunshine came out nice and bright. Wind's blowing a little, so that'll help melt some of the ice. There's no more ice on the trees, like the branches, like the picture that I showed you there, Gary. That's all melted off. So good news, and the mailbox is all clear of ice. So doing good here. This morning, when you talked about those old cars and driving through the snow, the big old heavy boat cars, and made me think of one went in, had to do with the ice also, but I bought this old 77 Buick LeSabre. It was a two-door, and I bought it pretty cheap, and then when I got it home, the interior of the car was mint, so I spent all summer painting it and put mags on it, and made it into a really nice car, changed the motor in it, put a big block Olds motor in it, and that car would go through the snow like you wouldn't believe, Gary. And one time we went to visit Elaine's sister over in Auburn, probably about 45-minute drive, and roads were all clear, and it was a cold night, but it was nice, and we visited for probably an hour. And their place was like right on top of the peak of this hill. So we pulled out of the driveway and headed like towards down the hill. And I noticed the blue lights of a cruiser sitting there. And he was trying to stop all the traffic because the road was just like clear ice. You couldn't see it. But I seen the blue light, so I hit my brake. And I wasn't stopping. I just slid right by him and down over this big hill. And there was cars off the road everywhere, in the middle of the road, sideways. I was like, uh-oh. And I was cutting the wheel back and forth, and hitting the brake, and touching the gas, and just missing this car, and just missing that car. Made it all the way down to the bottom. The lane screaming all the way down. Never hit a thing. I couldn't believe it. I was so lucky, but there was no stopping, that's for sure. Just right down over that hill I went. Thought I'd share that with you because that was something that came to mind when he was talking about the big old boat cars. They're great in the snow, but on the ice, they're not that awesome. WA1NXI. Oh, before that, I turn it back, I wanted to say, yeah, that's an excellent idea, Gordon, especially around here, is to have the shovel and some cat litter, some sand, or something in your car, and a nice warm jacket. You don't want to jump in a nice warm car thinking you're all set. Head off down the road and get stuck somewhere and be cold and no way to get out, that's for sure. WA1 NXI, back tonight.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Yeah, those old land yachts are awesome. No, they're you know, you get yourself anything built before 1980, you get yourself a full-size car, and you get yourself a set of real snow tires, and you put it on that, and you're going to go, you know. Problem that you run into is, like you're saying, you know, you get on ice, nothing. I don't care if you have four-wheel drive, eight-wheel drive, a spaceship, I don't care. It's not going to stop. And that's where the overconfidence comes in, because that's where you see these guys, you know, like if you have a four-wheel drive, and you don't remember that simple rule, I can go, but I stop just as bad as everybody else. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to stop worse because you're going better. And you have to remember that. You really do. That ice is the great equalizer. It will, you can always get traction if you've got the right equipment. But it's real hard to stop, that's for sure. You know, I remember, that's funny, you reminded me of a story back, this was back when I was working at the radio station, at my first radio station. That was located just outside of town, and it got into a very open area out there. And I remember driving up, I had to run an errand in the station van, pick up some, it was a portable stage that we had. We had to pick it up from the guy that built it. Yeah, Mr. Big Deal Program Director, I got to do deliveries. So I had the guy that was the station janitor in the van with me, and to help me out. And so we drove into town. We got the van. We're driving back up 690, and it was raining. And the same thing happened where the temperature dropped instantly. I think it went from something like 38 to 27. Just like that, you know, like in it was like flash frozen. It flash froze the highway, and all ahead of me I could see was cars doing donuts and everything. Sure enough, we hit it, and I start going around and around and around, and this was an old Econoline van, and it was just, you couldn't control that thing. So we're spinning, and of course we end up in the center media. You know, this guy that was the janitor of the station was about ready to have a nervous breakdown. I'm like, you okay? He's like, let me out of here, you know. So we got out of the van, and some guy saw us. He said, you know, guys, you know, I know where your radio station is, because they had the station calls on the side of the van. And I'll take you up to the station. So I had explained to the boss what happened. Mr. Chief didn't really like paying for towing it out, but he had to. That was the way it was. So, that's that for that. We will go out to Ohio and OVI. Hello, Rick. Not Ohio and OVI. What am I talking? Pete, come on aboard.
I did not. I moved to Ohio today, 84 hours to Virginia. Let me out of Ohio. I don't get into that snow stuff. I lived in snow for a while. I don't know what the story is. Keep yourself warm. Keep your front door open. So the wind in and out. Evenly. If I'm too hot, Mike, give me a... Oh. Okay, let me see how you do over here. Hold on for a minute. Let me do an adjustment here on my control. Hopefully that helps. Does that help any? Let me see if they done. How about that right there? I don't know. I've got this mania over here called Audio Mania. Anyway, I'm going to try to get over it somehow. Let me take my headset off.
How's it now? Better now?
Yeah, a
little bit. I don't know what happened here. I can't tell you. I gotta take the headset off, and I'm about to put it away from the microphone. I've got a plug in here, an audio plug somewhere. Checking it out, my microphone. But I gotta get used to this. It's pretty hilarious, I tell you. Anyway, to get back to the story again. Yeah. taking the way out of the orchid I was going to ask you about the how much it cost you so far in the heating bill. And I was wondering if you winterize a car up there, what's your procedure? I'd
like to
hear that. I got another comment to make. Over.
All right, Pete. You're a little low. Sounds like you're a little distant, but we got most of it. Once you backed it down, that's good. So definitely understandable. How much does it cost to heat up here? Well, we pay. This is a 1,900 square foot house, and we're on what they call a budget plan. So you pay the same amount year round, which makes it a lot better in the winter months. So we pay about $150 a month, I think, on the budget plan. I can remember a house or a place that we lived in. It was an apartment. It was an old place, and it leaked like a sieve. And no matter how warm you kept that place, you froze. And we paid, I think the highest bill we ever paid for heating was $500 for a month worth of heat. That was a little steep by any means, so it can get pretty pricey up here particularly if you have a bad winter. This house is insulated up in the attic to an R60. We have insulation in the walls, and we are in the process of replacing all the windows here, which it gets a little expensive, but with more energy efficient windows too. So the windows are either being replaced or repaired so that they are tight. Plus every other obsessive thing that I do with trying to stay warm, but it does pretty good. We've got some things to do, but we're doing pretty good. So, and I did not catch the second part, Pete, of what you had there. You had another question, but you were kind of low and it was kind of hard to hear. So hopefully you'll be able to come back and let us know. Let me just buy a nickel. One thing, we were talking about some of the various and sundry points about winter. One thing that you might want to consider, especially if you're up here in the north, is that it's like kind of, if you can't beat it, join it, right? So a lot of people have learned to enjoy the winter. There's certainly around here, not us. I don't know if you could hear Steph, but not us. But around here, there's a lot of people that are really into winter sports. There are some great ski facilities around here, and a lot of skiers, a lot of fun with that. But not very far from here, a couple of miles away, there's a terrific park that people do a lot of cross-country skiing in and snowshoeing. There's a wilderness area behind it, and folks will snowshoe through that and cross-country ski through that. And you even just see people out just walking in the winter, just taking it all in, and that's okay too. I'm starting to. The one nice thing about being retired is that at least for me, winter is becoming less of a challenge and kind of a little bit more enjoyable too. I can kind of appreciate it a little bit more. To the point, actually, where I've got my latest toy that I'll be fooling around with today. I got myself a brand new wireless weather station. This thing is really cool. It you mount it outside. It has all the sensors and the wind direction stuff and everything like that built into it. You have a receiver inside it. It puts the data up on a little display, and it transmits to your computer, so you can see all the data on your computer and keep a record of it, and actually put it up on the web too. You can see your station results from anywhere. So that's pretty cool. So we'll be fooling around with that today. So that's one more way that we can embrace the winter around here, you know. And feeding the birds, that's another thing. I've been getting into feeding the birds because they need to be fed. And it's fun. I enjoy it. We have a lot of nice birds around here, and I really do like watching them. So so that's my my second concession to winter around here. So with that being said, let's take another round of check-ins and see if there's anybody else with some more comments about how they handled the fun months that we're in, and as we continue a little bit longer with the people versus winter here on South Cards.
Recheck, Gary, for the second comment I have to make.
Victor X-Ray Papa Recheck.
I think I doubled Victor Hotel.
Yankee Zulu Romeo Recheck.
I think we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that time around, which is great. And we'll get things going with OVI Pete with part two. What's going on?
Here's my part two. I hope I'm better now on the audio. I think my bar is swinging right. As I can see on my system. But anyway, get back to the winter time. 10 different steps. Winter riding your car, making your car cold during the winter time. Besides just plugging it into the wall, make sure the parking is warm. What other little tidbits can you give people on renovating the car up there? That's my finale. 84 Oscar Virginia, back to net control. Toodaloo!
Hey, Pete, you're a little dull and a little distorted, but you're readable. So, and toodaloo to you, too, sir. What about the car? Well, the thing is, if you live in an area like this, or, you know, even if you're not quite in such a severe area, what you really should do, number one, is Stephanie goes move. What you really should do is obviously do your scheduled maintenance, number one. Every 3 years, get your cooling system reverse flushed and with fresh coolant put in, obviously. That's a big deal, all right? You really should do that. You know, inspect the vehicle before the snow falls. You know, make sure your belts and hoses are good. Make sure your battery, oh, my gosh, you know, make sure your battery's good, you know. Have the mechanic check it out, and really, you know, the shelf life on batteries nowadays is apparently about 2 years. So we're doing okay on ours, but really, you know, it gets very critical. And the other thing too is plan for the worst, expect the worst. Okay, you should put a little box in the back of the car with some jumper cables in it. With a bottle of water in it, with some kitty litter in it, with a blanket in it, because you don't know. You know, nobody goes out, so everybody says, you know, well, I just drive the car around the city, I don't have a problem with that, but, you know, it's the one day that you go out into some rural area, and you find yourself, you know, with 8 feet of snow over you, and that's the thing. That's why you want to be prepared. So, and like I say, one of those little 30-buck Baofengs isn't probably a bad idea either. So but that sort of a thing. So the main thing is be prepared for the worst, and it really doesn't take an awful lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort either, but it can pay off handsomely for you. So that's my advice anyway. We will move along and go out to Ohio and check in with Rick once again. VXP, come on aboard.
This is N1 VXP. You mentioned about what do you do to get prepared. Well, if it's cold in the apartment or house, I remember my parents always used to say, well, I'm not turning up the heat, just put a sweater on. So having the proper clothing handy does make a difference. I myself, my apartment right now is about 60, between 60 and 65 during the winter months, and I don't mind it. If I do get chilled, I just throw a sweater on. Heating costs roughly, it's been running about $130 to $140 a month, running strictly electric. In the years that I have been using the gas for the baseboard hot water system, I was hitting close to 200, and I said, no, wait a minute. Even with this sub-zero weather we've had, I think this month will be probably my highest running electric. But I've had everything work out quite well. And, yeah, there are some people that like to have a house at 80 degrees all through the winter. And I say, maybe that's why... I think back, my grandmother used to say, if the house is too warm, no wonder everybody gets sick. You need that cold to kind of keep your body immune system working the right way. Because I've noticed the past winters not having it too hot. Actually, I haven't had a cold in 8 years. I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? Maybe I'm doing something right. Even the doctor can't figure that one out. Let me drop for a second. And as far as something to keep in the car, which is quite handy, I remember relatives that live up in the state of Maine. They say that even though you may not need it all the time, but one little item that would come in handy is what they call dry gas. It's a gas treatment for the gas tank, especially in the winter time, to draw out the moisture out of the gas and prevent gas line freeze up. I had an experience one winter of being in a car that had none, and we actually did have the gas line freeze up, and we learned the hard way. You could run for just so long and it would start to freeze up, and you had to pull over to the side and let the engine kind of warm up the fuel a bit to keep going. Something that normally would have taken about maybe 5 hours on the trip ended up taking 8 hours. So that's something that they always say from then on. They would always carry an extra bottle of that dry gas so that if they do fill up gas, they always make sure that they throw that in and never have a problem. And 1GXP back to net control.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, I forgot to mention the dry gas, and that is a good one to throw around there. I had heard, somebody had told me years ago, that there are two types of dry gas, and I forget which one is supposed to be the better. They're both two different types of alcohol, I guess, but one actually disperses the moisture, and the other just kind of makes it a big glob of moisture in the corner of your tank, but it won't mix in with the others, you know. And you want the stuff that actually disperses it, obviously. Do a little research on that and find out. But apparently there's two different types. And also the other thing that I had heard of was that you don't want to let your tank go below a half. You don't want to run it dry in the winter time, because that's a good way to get moisture into your fuel line. So they always tell you, you know, when you get down to a quarter tank, put some gas in the car to keep it from running down too low. But that's another couple of good tips there from you too, and we thank you for that. We will move along to Victor Hotel down in Louisiana. Come on aboard, Steve.
Thank you, Gary. Well, it's bringing back memories. Being an enterprising young lad, before I was able to drive a car, we always enjoyed the cold weather to make money. A sled with a car battery tied to it and jumper cables and two or three guys. $5 for a push if you got stuck. $10 for a jump, which in those days was a lot of money. But people who were there and needed a jump were happy to pay it. Enjoyed that a lot. And then as I got older and started to drive and drive in the winter months, father's advice was, when you're coming up to an intersection, always look at the license plates of the cars around you. And if you see anything south of Kentucky, stay away from them. That's it from here, KF5VH.
Oh, those are such true words. Yeah, I love you guys, but people from below the Mason-Dixon line, I even shy away from Pennsylvanians. I mean, they don't know how to drive in this stuff. I mean, And it's something that you learn, you know. I mean, you really do. I took my driving test on a day where it was where we got 6 inches of snow that day. You know, it was a typical Syracuse January day. It was in the heart of winter, and you know, you just get used to it. You know, everything you do is just a matter of getting used to handling this weather and adjusting the way you do things for the snow. What a great idea about plunking that battery on the back of a sled. It's like, you know, you Bill Gates has nothing on you. That's awesome. That's a great idea. Thank you, Steve, and very enterprising. We have YZR checking in again, and good to hear from you. Why don't you come on aboard there, sir?
Oh, KC9YZR. Yeah, it reminded me of our German Shepherd we had in the 70s. He loved the snow. He loved to pull my brother and I along on a sled all over the yard, and so he loved the snow there and played a lot in it, and liked to pull us around in the snow there. And as far as fuel line antifreeze or whatever, or the gas line antifreeze, or the moisture remover, I use the isopropyl alcohol myself. I put a bottle in this last tank full. When it's real cold, well, actually, the worst time I have a problem with getting moisture in the gas is those days where it gets warm, like 25, 30 above, and then it might get cold, you know. Or if it's right around 25 or something, and it might get foggy, and there's a lot of moisture in the air, high humidity, and it seems like that's when I have the worst problem with that. But I think I used to, I don't know if it's iso heat or what there, but I think it's called isopropyl alcohol. And yeah, like one says it burns it or uses it or takes care of it. But yeah, the other one, I guess, just lets the moisture pass through the system. So, yeah, finally you were talking about what was allowed in the wintertime, about tire change. Yeah, they allow tire change. They even encourage the use of them. They don't want you to, of course, run all winter with them, but whenever you need them, put them on. But it reminded me of the first three cars I had. I had a 64 Ford station wagon, and of course the metal is twice as thick as the cars now. You could run across the hood of it and the roof of it, and it wouldn't cave in at all. 64 Ford station wagon, and a long wheelbase, and it seemed to work pretty good, except for on glare ice. But anyway, I had a Sears tire on there, and it was a studded tire, and then it was a 60,000 mile tire. It just would not wear out, and I put it on my second car, 67 Plymouth 33. And also the third car, 74 Chrysler Newport Custom. And by that time, that was a 74, like I said, and by that time, somewhere along the line, they decided to make studded tires illegal in Wisconsin. So, but the tire still had half the tread left, and I didn't want to get rid of it. So I spent about 2.5 hours removing all the studs in the studded tire because I wanted to continue using that tire. It just lasted and lasted and lasted. Well, that's about all I can think of right now. Gary, so KC2RMO, KC9YZR.
Hey, thank you, Bernie. Yeah, they I guess they got rid of studs roughly the same time around here. I can remember, I'm just doing some quick thinking now, because I had worked in a car parts store right after I got out of high school, and it would have been 72, 73, somewhere around there, I guess, is when they got rid of it. Because I remember we sold tires, and you know, you couldn't sell enough studded tires around here, and when they got rid of them, people were like, you know, what are they doing to me? You know, but it's cool. I never heard anybody pulling them out, but if you got a good tire, you don't want to give it up. I can definitely see that. 64 Ford wagon. That's a tank. That's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. My favorite car, my dream car, is a 64 Ford Galaxy XL with a 390. I'll go with a 427 too. But the 390 is a favorite engine of mine. But good to hear from you, and glad you came aboard. I think we had Jim in there at one point. Let's see if he is there. Quebec Yankee, Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sure is. KB4, you know, Quebec Yankee. I just wanted to address Pete's problem there. I don't know exactly what Pete's running, but I can tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like he may be on a radio, and that radio is not on frequency. Now, I don't know which one is off. It's whether it's a transmitter or receiver, but it drifts near 5 KC off frequency, and that's what's making it sound so peculiar. It almost sounds like sideband, but it sounds like an FM signal that is off frequency. So he might check the frequency there and get them both on the same frequency. Don't make much difference what frequency, but they do need to both be on the same frequency. Over.
Great set of ears there, Jim. That may well be the problem. So hopefully, Pete, you heard that, and maybe you can check that out. And thank you, sir, for the advice. It's always good to hear from you, and the advice you offer is always welcome. You know, we were talking about the people versus winter, and we were talking a little bit earlier about the Weather Channel. And one of the things they're doing is they're now naming winter storms, and it's kind of unusual to hear, you know, these winter storms named as if they were hurricanes. For the second year in a row, the Weather Channel is naming winter storms that fit certain criteria. Winter weather can bring freezing temperatures, flooding, power outages, travel disruptions, and other inconveniences caused by snow and ice. They can be life-threatening situations if the proper precautions are not taken in the hours and days leading up to a winter storm's arrival. The decision to begin naming storms came about as part of the Weather Channel's program to find the best possible ways to communicate severe weather information on all distribution platforms, including social media. Now, hashtags are an intrinsic part of social media, and a storm name proved to be the best way to efficiently and systematically convey storm information. And that's why you get Winter Storm Hercules and stuff like that. And apparently, that the names of this storm, and I'm kind of going through my notes here, but the storm names were initiated or thought up by a bunch of, yeah, here it is. The storm names for the 2013-2014 season are derived from lists created by students at Bozeman High School in Bozeman, Montana, as an assignment in a Latin class, and are primarily from Greek and Roman mythology. Hence the odd names for this year's winter storms. We're kind of winding down things, so let's do that. Let's wind things down. Let's take one last round of check-ins here on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. It's been a great net this morning, and appreciate everybody participating. So let's do it one last time. Last call for check-ins right now on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
6, Victor.
I'll try one more time. KC4, Oscar, Virginia. For some advice, sound advice.
Well, looks like it was 6 Victor and OVI that time around, so that's a good way to wind things up. Gordon, hello there, sir.
Yeah, good show this morning. Thank you, Gary. KY6V here. On Pete's situation, my ears are telling me that what you've got open there is you've got a double audio source. Maybe you have inadvertently turned on your mixer And I bet you that your microphone on your video camera is hot, and your microphone on your headset is hot. I'm hearing an echo and a bubbling, and or it's either that or you have a second computer that is online that's giving you the echo effect. The only thing I wanted to add here, Gary, is that, you know, I came out of California, as you well know, and I was a California driver. And I got into Wisconsin, and the winter came about, and I was always used to making a California stop at a stop sign. Now, that's where you move along at your given speed, and you don't apply the brakes until you're just about on the crosswalk. And I only did that once in Wisconsin. Fortunately, there was not any cross traffic coming in front of me, and I slammed on my brakes, and I slid halfway down the next block. KY6V, go ahead.
I, as a native New Yorker, have been accused of making California stops myself by my lovely wife, Unit. But I don't do it during the winter months, that's for sure. You learn very quickly that it's a whole different set of technique here. It's really something. You learn to drive a totally different way. Well, Steph says you learn to drive like an old fogey, but it's just being careful. It's just being smart, and that's all there is to it. It's just common sense. The world famous common sense, but it's true. Thank you, sir. It's always great to hear from you. I think Pete Gordon may have hit the nail right on the head there, huh? Maybe you got another device that you're away from. Let's see if maybe you've been able to make some adjustments between then and now, and let's see what you sound like. So come on aboard, Pete. OVI. This is KC2 RMO.
I got, I'm looking at a volume mixture thing. Right now it's showing a zero on all devices there, so I don't know. My car's a problem, is that I inadvertently got the deal shut down. Unplugged the USB. And unplugging the USB has probably upset the program. And I noticed that I was trying to get back on the air again that my USB plug was unplugged from the set. I think it's probably due to that fact. I plugged the USB power up to the network. Other than that, I was going to ask you guys up in the North Country about your batteries. What is the specification of your battery so far? How far minus can a battery go before it goes to the no charge extreme? That's my only other question to you, Gary. Katie for Oscar Virginia, what's the next control?
Pete, you were a little hard to understand there. It was I heard specification. I couldn't make out the rest. Can you specification on what? Now, if you could, until you can get your audio straightened out, back off from the mic just a little bit, and if you could ask your question one more time.
Here it is from a distance. I got this microphone now about a foot or 2 feet away from me. It must be hot. I pity your sound system. That's a perfect response. But I hope you show my apologies to my audio. But anyway, the question here is, Gary, what is the specification of your batteries that are for let's say cold weather specification before they go into the new charge condition over the you understand that, please?
Okay, I think you were asking about the specification on batteries. Is that correct?
Anyway, my question was to you, Gary, is that the battery, the environmental condition of your battery, what is the absolute minimum temperature that the batteries have to hold up under the extreme cold condition?
Okay, got you now there. Thanks, Pete. The there's no temperature specification that I know. I mean, you go by cold cranking amps. You get the maximum amount of cold cranking amps that you can get, and that'll do you. What I'll do is, or what you should do, get the what they do. A lot of garages around here will do like winterizing specials. Take her in for a winterizing session, and they'll check all that stuff out. But when you replace the battery, you want to look for there's a spec that they have that's cold cranking amps, and they'll run up right up there like 800 cold cranking amps or whatever it is. Just get the one with the highest number and plunk it in there, and you should be okay. So that's pretty much it. Nothing really complex about that. It was somebody had Bernie was saying that those drivers, the California stops are also known as taxi cab driver stops, and that's true. I think I never drove a cab, but certainly emulated it enough times. So maybe that's where I got it. I don't know. Steve was saying that the whole idea behind naming these winter storms came from an amateur weather web page that did it a couple of years before the Weather Channel did, and they kind of latched on to it. So, a little controversy here, so we'll see what goes on. One thing, too, that they're doing is this thing called StormCon. It's like DEFCON, in the military. It's like StormCon, and they have you can rate the severity, and impact of a storm by its StormCon index, which covers the duration, the time, how close it is in time to a previous significant weather event, and early or late season, where it falls within the season. So you have different storm cons conditions from 1 to 10. 1 is the least severe, obviously. 10 is a major debilitating storm. So when they give you a storm con index, you can get a relative idea, anyway, of how that storm is going to impact you. Which is a pretty good idea if you want to, you have finally the ability to judge, I guess, I just dropped my script as I did. You have the ability to judge how that's going to affect you. But this has been a great net this morning. I always love talking about the weather. Let me buy a nickel. I love talking about the weather, and I guess I'm an old polar bear at heart. I don't know. I kind of... I love dealing with winter, and I don't know why, but it's just something I do. So, but it's great talking to each and every one of you, as always. Hope we get a chance to talk again real soon. It has been wonderful, again, just to have you participate this morning. This has been SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service VoIPNet schedules, and general information may be found on the VoIP.SouthCars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary, KC2RMO, saying 73, and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.